Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Our biggest issue in the kingdom of God is not our giants. It's not our faults. It's not our weaknesses. It's our inability to receive what God has already done. We spend so much time, energy, attention, effort in serving God, in giving to God, and all the various ways we give to Him. Financially, we give Him our labors, we give Him our time, we give Him our worship, we give Him of our prayer, but so few of us, and we're changing all that now, spend quality time just receiving what He's done for us. More importantly, how to receive it, where to receive it. We have to learn to receive by faith. We have to learn to receive where grace is dispensed. We receive grace by faith. God's shifting everything. He's shifting the way we pray. Hallelujah. The appropriation of faith. So many times we're working our faith in this world system to want to change it. What we needed to be doing is setting our faith upon the grace of God and learning to receive what He's already done. Hallelujah. If we can get a hold of grace, it's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, say they that receive the abundance of grace will reign in this life. I don't know about you, but I am ready to reign. I am ready to have dominion over something in my life. Grace is going to cause us to reign. We need to receive the grace of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Been going around the same mountain for a long time and you're very tired of going around it. And you hadn't figured out that you're not going to be able to get out of that situation on your own. Well, that's your first cue. You have to learn that you're not going to get out of that one on your own. And if you think you are, you're going to keep going around that one until you can figure out you can't get out of it on your own. That gives you the ability to need or depend on something that's far greater than any one of us that's going to cause us to get out of the circumstance we have found ourselves into. But it all comes down to the ability to receive, where to receive the grace, how to receive it, and learn to get in receiving mode as you've been in giving mode all your life. We love God and we give. So little do we ever really just get into receiving mode all the day long, receiving, learning how to appropriate grace from the right hand of God into our life, learning what grace is. What is grace? What will grace do for us? Where is grace found? How do I get positioned? How do I receive it? That's where we're at. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 1. Hallelujah forever. How many of you have a promise of God right now? You're sitting on it. It's dwelling in you. It screams in you. It never leaves you. Raise your hand. It gnaws on you day and night. You tried to produce it. You haven't been able to produce it. It's still there though. You've tried to walk away from it and it's still there. You try to drown it out, but it's still there. The enemy's tried to drown it out and it's still there. Discouragement has tried to drown it out and it's still there. It's not going away. You have received the kingdom of God in you. Now, today, I'm going to show you how to get that promise fulfilled. Actually, for sake of time, I'm going to exhort this. So if you're taking notes, write these scriptures down. Then I'm going to throw this out in an exhortation. Write Matthew 13:23 down. I'll quote it. He that receives seed into good ground, say good ground, that's me. He heareth the word and understandeth it. And he bringeth forth fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Mark 4 verse 20. Listen to this. These are sown on good ground. Same exact parable. But heareth the word and receive it. And bring forth fruit. Luke 8:15. He that on good ground are they that with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. We see four major levels of the word of God. If you had your hand raised a minute ago, you are definitely in the receiving phase or you're in the keeping phase. The first phase is we hear the word of the kingdom. The second phase is we understand the word of the kingdom. The third phase is we receive. Every one of you that if you received a promise in your life that has been yet to be fulfilled, raise your hand. Hallelujah. least you got it inside you. You have received it. You heard it. You understood it. And you received it. And now you're keeping it. You're carrying it. And you don't know what to do with it because it never leaves you. I don't know how I'm going to get into the ark, but I know I've got it in me. It sometimes just drives you bonkers to carry it because it just gnaws on you all the time. God keeps telling you, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm like, do it already. I don't need another prophecy. I got enough inside me. I just need God to do and perform His word what He already put in me. Man, you carry it through the fire, you carry it through the water, you carry it through brokenness. How many of you ever been broken and come out on the other side and you want to run away and that promise just runs right there with you? You run. How many of you ever run from God with a promise and just run? You don't know what to do. I'm running. I don't like all this pressure. I don't like the fact that this thing is always with me day and night. Half the time I can't even sleep at night because this thing is just in me. You're keeping the word. Done everything. I know you fast, you pray. You've had everybody and their grandmother pray for you. That promise has survived 50 prayer lines and it's still in you, but it's still not in the yard yet. You're broken. You come to the place, I can't do it. But then it won't leave. How do I get what's in me into the earth? That's what I need to know. How do I get this promise into the earth? That's what I'm going to talk to you about today. Hallelujah. If you're in the phase of keeping the word of the kingdom, you're ready. If you've come to the place that you know you can't do it and you've been exercised enough to know you can't do it, you're ready. You probably wouldn't be here if you're not in that phase anyway. So I'm about 95% of you are ready. Hallelujah. Okay, Luke 1, verse 26. Thank you, Lord. This is the merger of the word and grace. When I tell you we got on this grace, I said, Lord, I know that grace has something to do with the word and the promise, the constitutions. It has to have. And I asked him, I said, you got to show it to me. You got to show it to me. You got to show it to me. And he did. Praise God forever. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Anybody ever heard of Mary? Isn't it amazing that in this birth, the Immaculate Conception is the mystery of birthing? Is that deep? Call it the deep. Wouldn't be the mystery of birthing be in the actual mystery of birthing? I mean, Mary birthed the entire New Testament kingdom. I'd imagine there's a few mysteries here. Amen. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord. I heart of faith, and the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. Now he's going to begin sowing the promise. Before God does anything in any one of our lives, in any city or any nation, He's going to send His word. He's going to send it to a birthing center. He's going to send it to somebody's spiritual womb. He's going to send somebody that He can trust that will carry that thing. You're going to have a virgin womb. If it's been polluted by the world, you need to get with the Lord and get it unpolluted. Because God didn't birth out of a polluted womb. God births out of pure holiness. Now, none of us are perfect. That's why we keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. But the Lord, He can clean you up really good. He'll make you a virgin all over again. Amen. Glory to God forever. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Thou art blessed among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation it should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. You have found grace. Boy, you find grace. You find favor. You find the blessing of the Lord. And I can tell you straight up, it doesn't matter what kind of mountains You ever notice somebody that's highly favored of the Lord, their mountains just seem to move all the time? Doesn't mean they don't have mountains, they just keep moving. Then you got somebody that's always got mountains around them that never moves. Somebody knows how to get the favor and the grace of God on their life, and they got it, and they may not be perfect like you are. And said, man, they ain't got what I got. They don't pray as much as I pray. They don't have the revelation I have. How come you doing that? Why aren't you doing it? You should be doing it with me. One of us is based it on our works, and the other one just learned how to receive it. Let me tell you right now, you learn to receive in your imperfect condition, you're going to become perfect. And the perfect that don't know how to receive will become imperfect. So, Father, teach me how to receive in my imperfect condition. That's why the Lord, when you're in Christ, you go to the Father, He presents you faultless before the Father. You have to know that you're freely justified by grace when you stand in front of the Father, because you're not going to get anything from Him in an unworthy state. He does not respect that kind of unbelief. He doesn't respect unworthiness. Not when you're standing there wanting to appropriate the grace of His Son, that He allowed His Son to die for you, suspended naked before humanity, become your sin, become your poverty, become sickness and disease. He wants you to respect that sacrifice. And know that you're worthy to stand in front of Him. You got to know it, or you're not going to receive it. You can't go, woe is me, God. You got to go, I am justified in your sight, Father. I am an heir. Behold, what manner of love you bestowed upon me today. You should call me your son. If you have problems with unworthiness, that's where you need to work your faith right there. Because you're not going to obtain grace with unworthiness. Here's a clue for you. If He thought enough about you and loved you enough to save you when you came to Him, then He will continue His grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, you have found favor, and behold, thou shalt conceive. For you, it's your spiritual womb. You'll conceive. Now, she's not going to conceive this day. She's not conceiving anything. She's receiving the word of promise for her life. She's receiving. She's being given charge to birth a brand new dispensation. Could you imagine what she's going through in her mind? He said, you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. It shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be no end. She's thinking, me? The final heir of God is coming through your loins, the King of Kings, the Son of the Highest. Could you imagine how she is trying to work that out? I just got a promise. How'd you like to carry that promise? You think, oh, well, Mary's Mary. Hey, she's no different than you are. In fact, if you read up above that, when Zacharias and God came and told Zacharias he's going to have a son, he started arguing with the angel or questioning the angel, smote him with a mute. He said, you won't speak until he's born. He had to write the name down. We have a responsibility when God sends his word to receive that word. You may not know how to do it, and I promise you, you will probably never know how he's going to do it until he actually does it. We have a responsibility to receive that promise. Mary had to receive this. Gabriel didn't give her any warning. Hey, he come tap on her shoulder the night before and say, I'm coming to you tomorrow with a proclamation. Don't be Zacharias. Don't be arguing. Don't be like your cousin's husband. Just receive it. You're going to get a little overwhelmed by what I'm going to say to you. She ain't getting out of that. She had a responsibility to respond to that word. What God in his approach with Gabriel was releasing the promise. He was seeding the spiritual, getting her ready. Before she was pregnated, she was impregnated. Say that. Before she was impregnated, before there was a consummation, before there was a conception, she was already impregnated. Because God sent his word first. You're going to have a double conception. It's going to take two things to make this thing work. And by the show of your hands, most of you have the first one. By the show of your hands, most of us don't have the second one because we wouldn't have been raising our hands when I said, raise your hands if your promise hadn't been fulfilled. We need a double conception. He announces you're going to conceive. He brings her promise. And she has to carry that promise. She has to work that stuff out in her head. How is this going to happen? He said that he's going to tell her how it's going to happen. Could you imagine? I got to give birth to the kingdom. Could you imagine her having to go tell somebody? God just spoke to me. His heir is coming through my loins. And it's not coming by Joseph. Well, how is it coming, Mary? It's kind of like Noah. It's going to rain. I am a preacher of righteousness, and I am telling you, it is going to rain. There's going to be water. It's going to come out of heaven. In those days, water didn't come out of heaven. Water came up from the earth. He didn't rain yet. He watered the earth from the fountains. He didn't bring the water down yet. And here's Noah saying, and who told you this, Noah? And what is that monstrosity you're building right there? Well, I'm going to collect all the animals by two. And how are you going to do that? Yeah, I'm going to build this ark because there's going to be water. God told me water's coming down from the heavens. He told me to build this thing called a boat. It's going to float on the earth while all you sinners die. Now, I can imagine if somebody chose to follow Moses for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Man, it's hard to get somebody to stay in church for 3 years. He had church for 100 years building the ark. Say 100. Yeah, we have a promise. It's going to take us 100 years to birth this promise. How many want to join today? Anybody want to be a member of my church today? You'll be very glad you did when it starts raining. And by the way, after it rains, we're going to be heirs of the world. The Bible says Noah found grace. He walked with God, perfect in generation, became the heir of the world. How'd you like to be him after the 100 years, stepping off the ark? Everything I see from the north, south, east, west, this is all mine. It's mine. It's all mine. The entire earth is mine. You're talking about wealth transference. He inherited the entire known world. Yeah. God helped him. Wiped out all the stuff. God gives his promise. Mary gets her promise. He says, now you're going to have to wait for another phase, Mary. Because this is the first of the phase. You get his promise. And Mary said unto the Lord, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered her, verse 35, the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I told you the Holy Spirit is the agency of transference. He is transmitting the grace. He's going to bring the power of the highest down upon her and calls her to conceive the promise. Now, he says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee. The power of the highest is going to overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary, verse 38, thank God, said, be it unto me according to thy word. She conceived her first conception. She had a double conception. You can't get a promise from heaven and the earth without a double conception. She got the first conception of the word. How many of you got something living inside you? Raise your hand. How many of you got a word inside you? You have already conceived half the kingdom. But now we need the other half. We need the double conception. This is where grace meets the word. It's where that promise, by the way, Mary, I'm going to put you in an impossible situation where you're going to have to absolutely depend upon me to do this because Joseph's not going to help you out on this one. Could you imagine how she's going to get that one in her head? I've been telling you, you do not have to move a mountain. What you're believing God for, you don't have to believe for the whole. Jesus always said if you had faith as the grain of a seed, you could move the mountain. All you need to do is have seed faith. And I'm not talking about writing an offering today. I'm talking about how to move a mountain with faith the size of a seed in comparison to the mountain. Mary was not responsible for what Christ was going to do in the earth. She was not responsible for shifting that covenant. She was not responsible for birthing. All she had to do was receive. And God was going to do the rest. The only thing she could do is receive. What's she going to do? Go find somebody to overshadow her? God already told her Joseph's not going to do. The Holy Ghost's going to overshadow her. All she had to do is wait and receive. That is our responsibility once we receive the word. We need to be first class receivers. Could you imagine how Mary was going to go into due mode and get that one done? Think about it. How is she going to get that promise fulfilled? For those A-type personalities like to get it done. Just do it, Nike anointing. How'd you like to get that one done? You got a word that's going to take God himself to fulfill. And there's nobody on the planet can fulfill it without God. Not even your husband, nobody around you, no high priest, nobody. She could go to her pastor every night and say, Pastor, I got a promise. Can you help me? No. That's where we have to get with a promise. You got to get to the point where you become desperate for God alone. But the desperation to receive only what he can do. The double conception. You remember Melchizedek and Abraham? Remember Abraham? God came to Abraham. What did he do? He seated him with a promise. He walking around with a promise. Now he comes into the presence of the high priest, which is Christ as our high priest. Christ is ordered after the Melchizedek. He comes in the presence of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, what's he do? Recognizes the first conception. He sees that Abraham is carrying the promise. And Melchizedek, what did he do? First thing he did, Abraham recognized his authority. That's why he tied to him. He understood there was another man greater than me on the earth. And Abraham's a pretty great man. To have two men like that in a generation is pretty phenomenal. And Melchizedek blessed the promise. We are called to bring, once we get our promise, bring our re-promise back to God. Back to our Melchizedek, which is Christ, and say, I need the second conception, if you will, sir, because I come to you, and the recognition is not by my might, and the recognition is not by my power, and this thing's not going to get done until I get the second conception of your blessing. I need grace! Grace! They that receive the abundance of grace will reign in this life. I come to the throne of grace because you're the only one that can fulfill this for me. The Bible says, be strong in the grace that it's in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, grow in grace. Zerubbabel figured out he wasn't going to move the mountains around his life until he received grace, grace under the mountain. The apostles of the early church, it says, with great grace rested upon them. Say, great grace. There's double portion of grace. There's great grace of his fullness. We have all received grace for grace, grace upon grace, compounded grace, compounded grace. We have the exceeding grace of God. And Paul calls it, thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift of his grace. Once we, the church, realize what's in that grace, the empowerment to birth your promise. Your word, your promise needs a second conception. It's crying out for it. It screams in your heart. It never leaves you alone because it's looking for something in order to be manifested. It's still looking for something. The reason why it's prophesying and crying out of your heart, there's still something that I need. And we're going to have to shift our faith to the grace of God and receive the grace to impregnate the double conception. When that grace, he said, when the power of the highest comes and overshadows your womb, Mary, you're already carrying the promise. She got it by the word. Now he's going to come and conceive. He was going to come and conceive that word. Bible says that word was made flesh and dwelt among men. I'm prophesying right now to those who can receive the grace of God. Your word is going to become flesh and it's going to dwell among men. Your promise is going to become flesh. Your promise is coming into this earth. You're not going to have to carry and struggle this thing the next 20 years. You're going to set your sights on the Most High God. Only your grace is going to bring to pass what's up inside of me. I need grace. I've worked it out already. There is nothing on this planet that's going to bring my word except your grace. I need the double conception. It's only for those who've struggled and passed through the fire and passed through the waters and carried that promise through hell and back. Try to run away from it, try to lay it down, but it doesn't go anywhere. It stays there. To find an answer, that's the one I'm talking to today. To find an answer for what's going on inside of me. Nobody knows the internal struggle of those who carry a promise except the one who carries the promise. Don't know what to do with it. Haven't known what to do with it. Have to wake up another day with that thing sitting there. Sometimes it's a joy, and sometimes it can be a burden of burdens. When I'm away from the Lord, I can't carry it. It's so heavy, it'll drown me. When I'm close to Him, it just thrives. It comes to life. When I get away from Him, it's like I'm carrying brickyards around. I'm dragging brickyards. You know what those constitutions? I got news for you. When I'm close to God, I can hold them in my heart like this. I can pray with them. When I'm not close to God, I put them down. You cannot carry the promise of God in the flesh. He that abideth in me and my words abide in him. That vine and that branch has to come together. That branch is full of the word, going to have to receive something to manifest that word. I got news. God has something. It's called a free gift. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to transfer thy kingdom. Come. It's your Father's good pleasure to endow you with a gift called grace. Can't work for it, can't earn it, can't deserve it. You must be made worthy to receive it. You must stand in His presence to find it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That tells you where it's at. It's in His presence. Moses knew he wasn't going to last a week without the presence of God. I'm not talking about the presence in church. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the presence with you. It's on you. The blessing's on you. The glory's on you. It's at the workplace. It's on the ministry. It's on your family. You just got it on you. When somebody gets that on them, their days of laboring and striving are over. It just makes things happen. I need His grace to merge with a word of promise in me so I can walk out and say, how did you do this? I didn't do it, but I did find some grace to get it done. My life is the throne of grace. Everyone say, my life is the throne of grace. Without it, I'm going to keep going around the mountain. But with it, my mountains are going to move because God's going to give me something greater than myself. You won't go after it if you don't know what it is. You won't go after it if you haven't exhausted all your other resources. People that are dependent and they're self-sufficient, they ain't going to wake up looking for grace. They're going to wake up and get their day on. Because they still got it together. Because the fact of the matter, in this country, you still do a few things by yourself. With full gospel. You can be spirit-filled, tongue-talking, but you still get things done. But those who carry a promise and done found out there is no other answer like Mary. There's only one's going to fulfill this promise. Sometime you get in a position and nobody on this earth is going to fulfill that promise for you until you get the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost to come down and conceive the Word of God inside you. I need grace for my Word. What we don't realize is how powerful that grace is because we've never learned to receive it. The only time we've ever received its power is when we were born again and it did its work. You receive freely when you, He came just the way you were. You old sinner. Transformed you, made you a son, a daughter, and an heir just because you asked and received the grace of God. What can it do for us now? That's what Paul was one of the most self-sufficient men in the entire New Testament. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, memorized the law by the age of 7, kept it blamelessly, excelled to the heights of the Jewish religion. He was a man's man. The boy could do anything. He was a businessman. He'd have been the CEO of the planet. He just had that discipline. And he had that inner zeal and drive. God said, Paul, what got you there is not going to get you there in my kingdom. It's not you that's going to do this, Paul. He says, those things were gained to me. When he got a revelation, I count them but dung. I count them but dung that I may receive the excellence and knowledge of Christ Jesus. I have been crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live now, but yet not I, but Christ in all of his grace is living in me. And that strong man that come against him is what got him the revelation, because he tried to get him off of him 3 different times when there's a messenger straight from hell sent against him. Probably a principality designed to tie up an entire country, signed to one man to stop him. Stop him. Whatever it takes. Paul said, God, he came to him 3 different times. That thing brought him to his knees. He said, get this off of me. God said the most remarkable words that you ever, if we ever get a revelation of it. He said, my grace, Paul, is sufficient. It's enough. And we think, you're going to get through. My grace is with you. How many of you ever thought that about grace will get me through? Look, God is not just interested in your survival. God is interested in you reigning. God is interested in you overcoming. God is interested in you rising above the circumstances of the mountain. He goes, one thing's for sure, Paul, my grace is going to get you above that strong man. It's going to get you above it, Paul. It is sufficient. And Paul got a revelation. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. How many of you ever seen somebody weak, broken down, broke, disgusted, and busted? Look, if that's all it takes for you to get broke, busted, and disgusted for God's strength to be made perfect, I've seen people that are broke, disgusted, and busted, broken down, and they're still broken down. 5 years later, and they're still broken down. If all weakness is, if it just takes your weakness for God's strength to show up, then, man, we should all be pretty strong right now. That's what it does, is it eliminates all your other dependency. But you still got to go to God. What it does is I can't depend on anything. How many of you ever been put in a position? You can't depend on anything. You can't depend on anybody. And when you put dependency up on somebody, they'll let you down. Because the fact of the matter, what's inside you, man's not going to bring that to pass. God's going to do it. You got to shift that all to God now. Paul got the revelation, everything that enemy's throwing at me is just getting me in position for some grace. God had to unravel Paul's sufficiency. That man was full of sufficiency. God's not going to get this kingdom advanced by man's sufficiency. This kingdom's going to get advanced by people who know their God, who know how to receive from their God. We may not be perfect, but we are going to receive the perfection of God. The perfection of beauty shines out of Zion. What I need is the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. What I need is the conception of grace to merge with a conception of the Word. What I need is for His grace. Father, I bring my Word because you're the only one that's going to bring this to pass. I'm not going to bring it to pass. Man's not going to bring it to pass. The world system's not going to bring it to pass. But your grace will bring it to pass. And I shift into 100% receiving mode. I'm in receiving mode. How many are shifting into receiving mode? Waking up in the morning, I receive the abundance of grace that I may reign. I might have some receiving issues, but one thing's for sure, I'm going to get those receiving issues right. I'm going to get it right because I'm going to receive from heaven if it's the last thing I do. What other choice do we have? Anybody else have another choice how to get your promise into the earth? Grace, the holy grail of the kingdom of God, calls us to do what we have never done in the natural. We're going to have to deal with unworthiness in receiving. We're going to have to deal with the way we were taught, you want something in this life, you got to earn it. We got a works mentality. If it be of grace, it cannot be of works. If it be of works, it cannot be of grace. Diametrically opposed. You cannot approach God in an earning situation. See what I've done. Do not go to God with your promise. Say, God, look what I've done with this problem. Look what I've done with this problem. I've carried it. He doesn't care. Go to him for one thing. He loves you and he is willing. It is your God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How shall he not that spared not his only son freely give me all things? You're going to have to get in your mind that grace is dispensed freely. You got to lay all that down. Grace didn't step up into Peter's boat until Peter toiled all night. God's going to get the toil out of your life He's going to purge Ishmael and he's going to purge Amalek. Wearisome, tiresome human effort. If you're in a purging state, sometime you are in the way of receiving. You hadn't got it yet. The program of God is you can't do it. How many men, if God has used, he put them on a backside of the desert until they were ready to receive. By the time he come and got them, Moses was stuttering. By the time he got David, he was a flea in his own eyes. He goes, I am but a flea. Why is this guy still after me? He's going to reduce parts of you so the other part, he can expand your borders and stretch forth the curtain of your habitation to receive something that's going to be far greater than you could ever be. He's got to reduce who you are so he can become really big in you. If you've been going through some reduction, don't matter. Come to him and say, Father, I stretch forth the curtains of my habitation. Oh, enlarge my tent to receive grace. As I've already figured this out, I've been exercised many years. Lord, I can't do this. The word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before this promise, you are become leveled ground. I cry grace, grace unto this mountain. Father, I receive the grace to fulfill this word, because it's not going to get fulfilled any other way. With all your faith, I encourage you. I strongly encourage you to shift your whole life. What are you going to do? Go take on the strong man that's already beat you down over the last 20 years? Just because you identify the strong man in your life, the one that's been beating on you for 20 years, like he did Paul, you can go take him on. When you've been reduced and all your strength is gone, how are you going to go take him on? You're going to get something that's going to make you greater than him. It's going to make you greater than yourself. You stop all the stuff we do. He said, labor to enter into my rest. Come unto me, all you labor, are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Then I'm going to fill you with grace. My God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing does he withhold from me. Everyone say, no good thing. God, that's another thing. That is a lie of the enemy. The enemy will tell you God's withholding. It's not your time. Listen, let me tell you something right now. The throne of grace is open all the time. It's open all the time. It's nothing to do with your time or not your time. You must be able to receive the grace. You're going to have to get it. The problem probably is with you. And it doesn't matter how many problems you got, because grace can override it. What is grace? Grace is everything that he inherited on your behalf through substitution, through his death, burial, and resurrection. Whatever you can identify that he inherited in the right hand of God, it is grace. And he gives you that inheritance freely. Now I'm going to close with this. Mary trying to work in her mind, how am I going to do this? God eliminated anything she could ever trust in. She couldn't even go tell somebody. How about that? Talking about hiding the word of God in your heart. You can't even go tell somebody because they wouldn't believe you. Sometimes the promise of God is so grand in your life, you just have to close your mouth. You ever been around people and just got to close your mouth? And they just talk. And this is the stuff you got to give them about half their answers, but they can't hear. They're too busy talking. A man's mouth can identify their wisdom in about 5 minutes. If you get around great men of God, the best thing to do is just stay quiet. They'll think you're wise. Ask questions. Hallelujah. Mary, the only one's going to work this one out was God himself. Is the overshadowing. The Holy Ghost is going to cause her to conceive in her womb what was already there. It was grace that was going to meet the word of God. That was her only solution. There was no other solution. Sometimes with God, you're not going to get a human solution. Many times, most of the time, every time with God, you are not going to get a human solution. You're going to have to get the solution God has. You're going to get it in, you're going to find grace in front of him. You're going to find grace in his sight. You're going to be in front of him. You're going to receive his grace. Now, we're going to point our faith to receive. We've been given access by faith into this grace. We understand. I want you all to shift into receiving mode. But not just going, Father, I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive. I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive. You got to get positioned for reception. You got to get at the throne of grace. And you got to get in there with him and let him know you're serious enough and tired enough of the old way. I am going to sit here. I'm going to drive my stakes down. And I am going to open the channels of my heart. And I am going to freely receive. And whatever's in the way, grant me grace for grace. Grant me grace to receive grace. I am telling you, this is how you'll know you'll get it from the time you wake up. You are on to grace. If you're not, you still got it all together. As long as you got it together, you hadn't found your need yet. Sometimes your enemies have to show you your need for grace. Sometimes the only way they're ever going to get expelled, the mountains in your life are going to get expelled, is your ability to receive grace to expel the mountains of God. Father, let your grace merge with the living word of promise. If you've got constitutions, if you've got promises, you need to sit there with God and hold them in your heart and learn to receive. You spend 30 minutes to an hour a day just learning to receive, learning to receive, learning to receive, getting the channels open, learning to receive, receive. Get the scriptures of reception. Father, it's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. You spare not your only son. How shall you not freely give me all things? You give grace and glory. No good thing are you withholding from me today. Today we receive the abundance of grace that we may reign with you. Father, my prayer today for this church is teach us all. Teach every one of us right where we are in our imperfect state how to receive the perfection of grace. Where to receive it. Open the channels. Grant us grace to receive grace. Grant us this remarkable, unspeakable gift, Father. Grant us great grace. Let that be said of us, Father, in the days to come, that great grace rested upon them all. In Jesus' name, be blessed today. Here's a scripture for you. You are not under the law. You're under grace. You're not under the world and its systems. You're under grace. You're not under bondage. You're under the canopy of grace. Holy Spirit, clothe us with the grace.